Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Palm Sunday. It's great to have you here today. We're very happy that we're having a new member reception today for Linda Ross, so we're looking forward to that. I will make a note about in the bulletin, we normally have the Apostles' Creed in a certain place. We're putting the Apostles' Creed in the new members reception, so don't be surprised if you missed the Apostles' Creed at that point. Reminder that Thursday is Monday-Thursday. Our service is at 7 p.m. And also a reminder of the one great hour of sharing. You can get the envelopes and the fish banks in the back. And we're collecting through the 5th of April for the one great hour of sharing. And please look at the other announcements that are in the bulletin. With that, I will turn it over to Tom. Tom, it's all yours.
Thank you.
A couple of weeks ago, when I was absent, I was going somewhere, Ng read a special welcome to people, didn't she? And then I was inspired. I wrote one myself, but she never read mine, did she?
No, she hasn't.
Oh, shame on her. But I get to read it to you today then. I sort of copied the earlier one that Ng picked up at another church about being welcomed. And so this is my contribution to you. If you are not sure you are welcome here in this place of worship, please know that God's welcome is full and complete, and so is ours. We welcome here today sports fans, and also who don't know a flea flicker pass in football. Audrey, do you know what a flea flicker pass is? See? From a Texas leaguer on a baseball field. Do you know what a Texas leaguer? See, he knows. See, we have both. We welcome here those who read Zane Grey or Hemingway. I thought that was cute. Got it? Zane Grey or Hemingway. We welcome people who enjoy tea at breakfast and those who drink coffee so strong, it walks across the room and says, good morning. We welcome Catholics, Pentecostals, Protestants, and those who never heard of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. You should feel welcome if you don't know the Apostles' Creed by heart, because even some of the ministers say it with a cheat sheet. Your gender, your economic status, your marital status, and every other human created distinction might mean something to others, but to us, it means not a whit, because we believe every person is made in the image of God. And that's good enough to make our welcome passionate. You are welcome to sing with a full heart, even if you can't carry a tune, because God delights in our joyful praise. Here, every person is a citizen of heaven, a brother, a sister, a friend, and a saint. So don't think for a moment that you fail to fit in. You are welcome here. You are valued here, and our deepest desire and earnest prayer is that here, this very day, you will know God's love and ours. We are so glad to see you. Well, I don't know if that was as good as the one that she read or not. That was my attempt. So welcome. And let us call one another to worship on this Palm Sunday. Will you follow? Will you lay down your coat? Will you lay down something important? Will you shout, Hosanna? Will you join the parade? Will you sing, even if your throat is hoarse? Will you cut down a palm branch? Will you wave it in the air? Will you follow the one riding on a donkey? Will you let this good news inspire you to act?
We will sing.
We will pay close attention. We will worship.
We will follow.
Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. If able, we rise. If not, we stand in spirit as we join our singing together the first hymn. As we remain standing, we join our voices and hearts in prayer together. Jesus of Nazareth, we know that you spent your days teaching and healing. You marched through the streets and walked on water. You laid hands on the sick and broke bread at crowded dinner tables. Your good news was not confined to conversation. It was not confined to the temple. Your good news was an act of love alive in the world. Holy God, for a faith like that, forgive us for the times when we confined our faith to something to think about as opposed to something to act upon. Inspire us to love
as you loved.
Inspire us to act with hope for
tomorrow, we pray.
Amen. And now in silence, lift up your prayer, your private personal prayer. And now, friends, be sure of this. You are wonderfully made. You have been created by God, God's own hands, shaping and forming you. And in Christ we have been forgiven, made whole, made lovely and new. Thanks be to God for these marvelous gifts. Amen.
Lord, we need you.
before you greet one another, to remind you, there are palms in the rear of the sanctuary. Please take one home so that you may celebrate all through this day the marvelous message of Palm Sunday. And now with smiles and greetings and waves and hellos, gift one another with your love. We now gather to pray as one. There'll be a moment of silence that you may lift up your private personal prayer. From last week, Peggy shared with us requests for prayers for Arlene and Joan and Gladys, friends, each in need of healing. Lift up those friends, if you would, today. And also, Patty Gamrod's daughter, Jody Mae French, will have surgery on Wednesday for a spur to be removed on her foot, Jefferson Hospital. Please remember Patty and Jody, and please pray for the friends of Peggy's. So let's join together hearts and prayers. O Christ, we pray that you would hear our prayers, and we give you thanks that every prayer spoken in voice or in heart is lifted to your heart. Lord Jesus, you emptied yourself, trading in the form of divinity for the form of a slave, And so we pray that you will form us into a people and a church that empties self for others and for you. Oh God, we pray for the whole human family, for every nation and people and tribe and language of this earth. We pray your peace and grace and healing in the midst of many disasters, famine, terror, difficulty. We lift up every person on this great planet Earth for your blessing. We pray for our nation, our leaders. May your heart beat within each one. May your will be accomplished in each and every one. Oh God, you have been given the name that is above every name. And by lifting up your name today, we pray for any among us here who are hurting and finding life difficult, struggling. Bring your grace and healing to each one. We pray for those who will be in surgery this week, especially do we lift up Jody May and the friends of Peggy and others that we love who are always in our hearts. And so now in this time of silence, we pray for one another. Oh God, on this Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into the city on a donkey, over cloaks spread, under branches lifted, ride on, Lord Jesus, toward a city through its gates, past the crowds. Ride on, Lord Jesus. And as hosannas fade, and enemies sneer, and danger closes, and friends falter, ride on, King Jesus, showing us the way, teaching us the truth, bringing life for all. In your name, we remember the prayer we have been taught to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom
and the power
and the glory forever. Amen. We will rise and sing a spirited old tune. Came out of Eastern Europe. A group of Jews went to Palestine after the First World War and took this tune with them. And now it has been picked up for us and for the church. The words are on the screen. May joy be in our hearts as we rise to sing.
Thank you.
Please be seated. I thought maybe some of you would get up and join arms and bodies together and have a Hebrew dance around the sanctuary. Sometime we'll do that. Maybe we'll have to practice, but that tune just lifts the soul and blesses the heart. And so now may we bring our gifts of love and devotion. We are so rich. You have blessed us with every spiritual blessing in high places. And out of this heart of richness, we bring these gifts, praying that your Spirit would touch them in us, that good news would be everywhere shared. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Good morning. Today's reading is from John 12:12 through 19. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. So the crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to testify. It was also because they heard that he had performed this sign that the crowd went to meet him. The Pharisees then said to one another, "You see, you can do nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." That's the reading.
Amen. We pray together. Oh God, may your word be alive in this place, in this preacher, in this congregation. May it reach every heart and lift every spirit as we gather under your word this day, in Jesus' name, amen. I had a lot of religion when I was growing up. Our house was five houses from the church. And it was busy church. And I got a lot of religion. I mean, there was Vacation Bible School the first 2 weeks of the summer. Not one, 2 weeks. That's because the Catholics went 2 weeks longer, you see, to school because of all their holidays. And so we had to have 2 weeks. So we all got out at the same time. And there was church camp in the summer. And there was not only Sunday morning church and worship and Sunday school, but there was evening worship as well. I got a lot of church and religion when I was growing up. But I never got Palm Sunday. That is to say, in the church where I grew up, Palm Sunday was just another Sunday. There was nothing special about it. And then when I became a pastor and I learned about the tradition and the festival and all of the things that go into Palm Sunday, of course, for many, many years, Palm Sunday was always a very special time. But I learned something just recently that I had never learned before. And I don't know how I missed it, but I did. What I missed was when Jesus came into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday of Passover week, and there was this procession and the palm branches and the cloaks on the ground and the children, little children, dirty little children with runny noses and dirty clothes running behind him and everybody shouting, Hosanna, blessed be the King. I didn't know that there was another parade, procession, on the other side of the city. A city that had swelled in population because Jews from all over the diaspora, all over the world, up through the Mediterranean basin, all those countries, all those Jews living outside of Palestine came back for Passover to celebrate the freedom that God had given the people when he released them out of bondage in Egypt and made them to be free. On the other side of the city on that Palm Sunday was Pontius Pilate. You know that name. You say that name every Sunday when you come and you recite the Apostles' Creed. Suffered under Pontius Pilate. It was Pontius Pilate on a great war horse leading the Roman troops into the city. Why? Well, they were nervous. All of these Jews gathering from all over the place, all of these countries, and celebrating freedom, freedom being released from bondage in Egypt, freedom to come into a promised land, freedom at last, after 400 years of slavery, freedom. That's what the Passover was all about, and the Romans were always nervous because they were afraid that all of this talk about freedom might be a battle cry for freedom under Roman occupation. And so a parade, it was a parade intended to intimidate and to warn and to let people know if they had any thought of rebellion, they better put it away right now, because into the city, led by Pontius Pilate, was the mightiest fighting force, the mightiest army in the whole world. Roman soldiers. Oh, they were well trained. They had 4 months of boot camp. That's longer than any U.S. service branch has. 4 months in which body and mind and skill of fighting and conquering they learned, and they learned it well. Oh, did they learn it well? Conquering the almost entire known world. One out of every five persons on planet Earth lived under Roman occupation. The Roman colony, the Roman power stretched from England, Britain, all the way through all of the countries of Europe and down into Egypt and across North Africa and back up to Britain again. All of this part of the world, one out of every five on planet Earth, lived under Roman occupation. And so here they came, following Pontius Pilate, a display of mighty force. The slingers, the archers, the infantry with iron helmets and plated armor, the swords and the daggers. And they marched to a trumpet. That's how they kept in step. They didn't have drums. Nazis had drums for their marching soldiers. No, Rome had a trumpet. But also in addition to that, now get this, they marched to the music. The Roman soldiers sang. And as they sang, whether it was to a slow march, one step a second, or to a fast march, two steps a second, they sang their way. They sang their way across the world, fighting, conquering, establishing the roads, the government, the power, an empire. One of the largest, strongest, 500-year lasting empire. One of the great empires of world history. And wherever they went, they build their baths. I remember one time going into an excavated Roman bath. They had hot water and they had warm water and they had cold pools. It was a time of social gathering. But what I remember about the ancient Roman baths that I was in that day was the beautiful tile. It was gorgeous. All of this beautiful inlaid tile in the middle of nowhere. We were miles and miles and miles from anything, and yet here was the Roman culture established in this forgotten place. They had brought their culture. This beautiful tile. What an impressive empire. And now they were marching into Jerusalem so that nobody would ever have a second thought of rebellion or revolt. The empire right before them. And of course, the empire was established, the peace of Rome, the Pax Romana, you know, the peace that was there all across the world was a brutal peace, terrible peace. The Romans did not invent crucifixion, but they perfected it. And they used it in their 500-year history. It's just estimated that the Roman government crucified over 2 million people. It was one of the worst conceivable ways that humankind has ever imagined. Punishment. I don't know if you remember the movie Spartacus. If you're half as old as I am, maybe you saw it. Kirk Douglas, my favorite actor. Well, it was a star-studded cast. There was a Gene Simmons, there was Peter Ustinov, there was Tony, whatever his name was, what was that singer? Tony Curtis. It won four Oscars. It was a great movie. It was about Spartacus, this gladiator who wanted freedom And so he gathered together all of these slaves, and they came from everywhere, and they became an army. And they were going to go up against the greatest force on planet Earth. They were going to find their freedom. And Spartacus, of course, was killed in battle. And 6,000 of his followers, 6,000, were crucified on the highway leading into Rome. Mile after mile after mile after mile. 6,000 slaves crucified. How can you imagine going up against an empire like that? So on the other side of the city, Jesus of Nazareth. He's going to conquer the world. And he has nothing. He has nothing. That is to say, of the world in which he lived in, he had nothing. He even rides on a donkey, the miserable little donkey, not a war horse, a miserable little donkey. He gets on the donkey, and he doesn't even own the donkey. He has to borrow a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. And he is going to conquer the world. He is going to plant an empire. He's going to gather together a new people, a new creation. And it's going to last longer than 500 years. Every empire lives and dies. Everyone. There's not been, there will never be an empire that lasts. They come and they go, and they're usually founded on the power of the sword. And Jesus comes into Jerusalem on a donkey. And the only weapon that he has is the weapon of God's everlasting, eternal love. And he's going to claim the world. He's going to claim the world with the weapons that he used on that Maundy Thursday, where he gathered his disciples, and as they sat there, he took a basin full of water, and he took a towel, and he washed their feet. That was his weapon. That was the power that was going to change the world, to establish a new empire that would never end, that would be forever in place. The power of God's suffering love that never gives up and that can never be defeated, because in every death, a resurrection. I remember a colleague I had in Kansas City. Her name was Emily. She was African American. She was a scholar in one of the seminaries there in Kansas City, where I was. In her late years now, she's a professor of Martin Luther King social ethics at Boston University. She's a well-known. She had, at one point, she was dean of Vanderbilt Divinity School. But when I met her, she was just starting out, and her life story was that she grew up in a segregated time in the United States, down in Durham, North Carolina, where to be black, just to be black, was to be in danger. And that little black girl who grew up in Durham, North Carolina, went on to University of Chicago Divinity School and became a PhD, a professor. And when I met her, she wasn't a scared little black girl. She was a strong, powerful voice. And there was a discussion among professors one time, and they were talking about all this academic stuff that they talk about. And, the academic Jesus, the Jesus of the scholars and academicians. They were talking about that. And Emily said, and I will love her forever. I will love her forever. And when she said, I wasn't there, but someone told me what she had said. She said, don't mess with my Jesus. I love that. Because she knew it wasn't the academic Jesus who guided her out of segregation and all that it meant to be told that you're nobody. And she felt like because Jesus was there in her life, she was somebody. So she said, and I think often, don't mess with my Jesus. He is the strength and the power and the reason that we can lift up our eyes, that we can lift up our spirits, that we can know that regardless of what bad things might happen to us, there is somebody who's holding us and who will not let us go. Don't mess with my Jesus. That reminds me of one of the old African songs they used to sing. And it goes back at least to 1840 because the song appears in a hymn book that was published in 1840. And it goes like this. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Do you know that old song? Can't you imagine those people who are working in the fields in the hot sun, their backs breaking every minute of the day, and all of their labor, everything that they ever did, would be to go to somebody else to make them rich, while the slave worked for nothing every day? How did they do that? How on earth can a person live in that kind of life? How can you and I get through all of what life gives to us? All of the difficulties, all of the heartbreaks, all of the failures, all of the tears, all of those things that just want to tear us down and break us apart. How do we get through this? They sang it in the fields. They got through each day. When the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. And it goes on to say, give me Jesus. That's what you need, folks. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. You can have all the world, it sings. You can have the world. You can have every empire, all of those empires, all of those things, all of those that glitters and makes life easy. You can have all of that. Give me Jesus. And then the song, the spiritual, ends. And when I die, and when I die, who do you want? Who do you want to be there with you? Whose hand do you want to reach up and feel that it's taken yours? And when I die, give me Jesus. the one who came in to claim the world and to claim our hearts and to claim our lives on a donkey who brought with him nothing but the love of God, which will never die. Amen.
So I would like to fall in the cross and I'm enjoying with me as you stand in the middle of here. This is such a wonderful moment to welcome Bishop, a new member of this church. You know, maybe God's not finished here. Think maybe there's something's going to happen. People are going to like you become part of this church. You're a special gift in many ways. You're such a beautiful person. And so we're going to welcome her, and she's going to be our sister of faith. And so I get to say, Cliff gets to say, on behalf of session, I present Linda Ross, who's been received in membership for this congregation by your reaffirmation of faith. In baptism, you were claimed by God, marked as Christ's own forever, and joined to his body by the Holy Spirit. Linda, you come to us then not as a stranger, but as a friend in Christ, a member of the household of God. We rejoice that you now desire to join with Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church in the worship and mission of the church. And so together, let us hear these words from Ephesians. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. And so, as members of the body of Christ, let us reaffirm the faith in which we were baptized, by remembering together the Apostles' Creed, which you rise as we remember the kingdom. All together in one voice, then we say,
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please be seated. We have professed our faith as one body. And now will you be a faithful member of this congregation? Share in its worship and mission through your prayers, gifts, your study and service, and so fulfill your calling to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Will you?
I will, with God's help.
So, if you would like to welcome her, tell her how joyful and glad you are to have a part of this congregation's life, would you raise your hand? These are your new brothers and sisters, and we all welcome. And so, trust Christ. Well, God, thank you for calling us to be your people and joining us to Christ's body. We pray to you for leading, we praise you for leading this one to us today. Empower us and her by your Spirit, that we might love one another as Christ loved us, honoring him in all that we say and giving our lives in service to others through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. I get to anoint you with and to say to you, my dear sister, God's love is marked upon you. Welcome you to this congregation. Pray that God will keep you and bless you and guide you in public. Welcome to this ministry and we share Jesus Christ. Peace of Christ be with you. Please welcome our newest member, Linda Ross. Sign in, please. I'm with him.
Closing hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, a great Palm Sunday hymn on the screen in our hearts and voices. Let us rise together as we sing.